In 1936, just as the terror was getting underway, Stalin offered a new guiding slogan. Life has become better. Life has become more joyful, comrades. And this phrase was heard everywhere. Songs repeated it. Posters, in the movies, in the press, in speeches. And its spirit was, in fact, already emerging before this formal declaration of this slogan in 1936. Stalin's face in the mid-30s began to appear in public as a rather nice and genial fellow. As his face appeared more and more often, it became more and more fatherly, as people describe it, as dear and beloved. He was often smiling or seen patting children on the head. There were also in the press pervasive images of prosperity and happiness in art, in literature, in newspapers, in posters. And it's worth emphasizing, this wasn't just an image. There was, in 1930 society, a growing emphasis on material rewards that would come from hard work and loyalty. As I've suggested, older ideals of egalitarianism and work for the benefit of work itself were abandoned in favor of material rewards for work and loyalty. A good illustration is the famous Stakhanovist movement. At first glance, this would seem like a classic totalitarian mobilization of society for production. It was named after a man named Alexei Stakhanov, a coal miner who, after organizing a team of assistants, was able to hew 14 times his daily norm. The government set him up and his work as a model, and thousands of people across the country were mobilized to emulate Stakhanov in overproducing. Now, if this had happened in the early Stalinist years, in the first five-year plan, Stakhanov and his followers would have been idealized for their heroism, for their sacrifices for socialism, but not in the mid-1930s. By then, the emphasis was on personal and material rewards. Press reports, in fact, made a point of describing Stakhanovites acquiring bicycles and pianos and phonographs and records and radios and good china and nice linen and good suits and ties as a reward for their achievement. And it described them as spending their leisure time not just at party meetings, but at dances and parties with their happy families. Or consider this news report. This comes from the Communist Party's official paper, Pravda, The Truth, about a New Year's Eve party for Stakhanovites in 1936. It says, "The brigadier welder, V. Baranov, 28, the best Stakhanovite at the Elektrozavod factory, glided across the floor in a slow tango with Shura Ovchinnikova, 20, the best Stakhanovite at some other factory. He was dressed in a black Boston suit that fully accentuated his solidly built figure. She was in a crepe de chine dress and with black shoes and white trimming." The message like this, which one saw so often, was of course directed at this new upwardly mobile class. But it was also, by extension, meant to appeal to the whole population. It was an allure. It was a promise. It was a suggestion that if you, too, work hard, this is the reward. Not heroism, but material benefit. And ads in all the papers of the time, Communist Party papers in the 1930s, would often show new stylish fashions that could be bought at the local department store, nice hats, nice shoes, ties, and the like. Now, another major expression of this encouraged, in fact, one might say, required mood of happiness and optimism were popular entertainments in the 1930s. For example, in Moscow, a park called Gorky Park, named after the famous writer, became a sort of communist Disneyland, an escape park for pleasure. A theater was set up where light musical entertainment became the norm. A big dance island was set up so people could dance, especially in the summer, late into the evening. Carnivals were organized with torchlight parades and costume figures and amusements and rides and music and dance and fireworks, even during the darkest days of the terror. The 30s were also a time of a revived popularity of jazz as part of the pleasure of the time. In fact, during the early Stalinist years, there was an assault in the first five-year plan period, an assault on jazz, which was quite popular in the 1920s, and seen to be as encouraging sexual license and drug use and homosexuality. This was now banned in the 1930s for these reasons, though it in the first 5-year plan period. In fact, there was even a ban suggested during the first 5-year plan on saxophones, seen as a symbol of decadent music.